It's all right. It's all right. I think I've just got to stand here with this. Thank you very much, John. I'll do. I'm not sure yet if God wants me to preach. I've been praying all week that I'd get up and wouldn't have to. Not because I'm like scared of my message or I've not prepared or I don't want to do it. But actually, everything God wanted to say this morning, he'd have already said by the time I got up. I felt very strongly about what I'm about, well, if I do speak about it this morning, just because, I'm not saying this in a trite way, but isn't God good? Oh, this week has just been immense. Like last week, the service was good, don't get me wrong, but it was just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, like, we got to a point and I was like, this is good, this is where God is wanting to take us, but I just felt like there's so much more, and where I've been going with my thoughts on the sermon, there's so much more of God available than just a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling during a couple of songs. And he's just kept giving. He's just not stopped. And it's been amazing. Absolutely amazing. And I'm probably not making coherent sense, but I don't care. Because I was going to speak about the presence of God. Just the idea of a simple pursuit of God and nothing more and nothing less. I made a promise with God this morning that I was willing to be interrupted. And I kind of have been. I really don't know what to do. Really don't know what to do.
Shall we pray for you?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, Lord, thank you just for everything that you've just shown Matt this week. And Lord, we know that's for a reason. It's not just for him alone, but it's in preparation for today, for us to hear all that you have for us. So make it clear to Matt. With all the stuff that you've given him, sometimes, Lord, it's an overload. But Lord, we praise you for speaking. We praise you for all that you've done in his life this week. And Lord, we just ask that you'd come in your peace and in your stillness. And Lord, this morning, if we just need to carry on in sung worship and prayer in silence to pursue you. Make that clear to Matt. And Lord, if we need to come and hear some of the things, some of the things that you've laid on his heart and the ways and the stories that Matt has in mind, then make that clear too. We're prepared to surrender to your will this morning. And Lord, Matt is just coming as your servant to honour you. And so, Lord, we just ask that you just give him that clarity.
Father, you have said, open your mouth and I will hear. We trust you to open my mouth with your words to come out.
Father, just ask that Matt will hear now from you very clearly those things that you want him to share with us this morning. We do believe you are God who comes and speaks directly into our hearts and minds through your word. The Holy Spirit, you take that which Jesus gives us and you implant it into our hearts and minds so that we can encourage one another in that. And I just pray for Matt now that the clarity will come to his mind now for those things, those important things. All the other things that maybe just are words and packing, Lord, take those away. And just leave there the thing that you want him to share with us this morning, the challenge that by your Spirit you are bringing to us as individuals and as a church. For God, you are a great and mighty God. And we stand in your presence with Matt this morning and say, we just want to hear from you. And Matt is your son, and you love him, and we just ask you to be with him now as he just shares with us. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I just kept getting the words, share my heart. I am the God of the vulnerable. Share my heart as I have shared my heart with you.
Funnily enough, God also told me before I preached that my heart would have to prepare to be broken. Hey, he fulfills his word, doesn't he? But then as we were praying as well, I just felt like God just say, you need to explain what on earth it is that you are clearly dealing with right now. So I am going to try and explain, because my sermon does explain what I've been going through, because this is deeply, deeply personal about what God has revealed to me. And if you've spoken to me this week, I've probably already preached my sermon at you, just because I couldn't wait till today. It is so important to me that it's just had to come out. And I've even like preached at people at work, so which has led on to some great, great conversations and stuff, and has actually helped shape some of the message. So I just want to start with 1 Chronicles 7:14. It's a very well-known passage. I apologize if it's a bit small up there. But it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Just the idea of seeking. That's what God has really been talking to me about, just seeking him and him alone. And I'll try and unpack that as best as I can this morning. And hopefully you'll get what I'm getting. I'm just going to pray again because I don't think you can pray enough. I'm going to pray this prayer for me. So if you want to make it your prayer, say amen at any point in there. You don't have to wait till the end. God, I just want to see your face this morning. Just one glimpse is enough. Show us your face this morning, Lord. Amen. It seems odd to the questions I've written down now in the light of what I'm currently experiencing in the last couple of weeks in church. But do you ever kind of come to church and just feel fed up? I don't mean with life in general, but with church. And I don't mean the people, because you can often love the people in the church, but when you come together as an organization, you think, is this it? Is this all church is supposed to be? And that's kind of really where I've been at for number of weeks, number of months, thinking, is this it? I just heard my dad's voice come out of my mouth then. That sounded like some of you. Even did his mannerisms. But having read a couple of books on this over the last couple of weeks, I've kind of come to understand that actually it's not just a frustration that things aren't the way that I like. There's something else behind it. That actually I am hungry for more than I'm currently experiencing. And the good news is there is more to that. It's something that people have expressed for centuries. There's a guy called Blaise Pascal who from the 16th century said this. What else does this craving, this helplessness proclaim but that there was once in man a true happiness, of which all that now remains is the empty print and trace. This he tries in vain to fill with everything around him, seeking in things that are not there the help that he cannot find in those that are, though none can help, since this infinite abyss can be filled only with an infinite and immutable object. In other words, God. It's where we get the concept of the God-shaped hole from, is this guy. Never actually said it, but it's been kind of developed onto that. But interesting enough, a couple of thousand years before this, the Bible said something very similar. If we go into Ecclesiastes 3:11, he says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in man's heart, in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning. At the center of all of us is this longing to be connected with God. And we come to church and we think, is this it? There has to be more. And that's what I've been going on a journey of. So I've had to kind of figure out, how do you do it? How do you fill that void? I'm not saying I've tried all sorts of stuff to try and fill it other than God. But when I met with some guys yesterday to pray and just seek God, Dave, on my right over here, said the words, we make it so complicated, but it's simple. And it is. It's so blooming simple. Only God can satisfy that. And the only way of finding him is by pursuing him. And I know that, obviously, God's presence is everywhere, because we use the word omnipresent to mean he's everywhere at all times. But actually, I'm talking about the manifest presence of God when we're pursuing him, that actual place where he comes and dwells with us, and we can so tangibly feel it, that it overwhelms us. So if that's the case, if that's what he wants to do, is be with us and actually come and dwell amongst us, why don't we have that manifest presence week to week? There's definitely been something different about the last 2 weeks in church. I know there's been something different in me about the last 2 weeks in church, about my level of hunger for God. But we can't just put it down to me, because this isn't about me. A guy called Tommy Tenney describes it like this as to why we don't pursue that presence of God enough. He says, there is much more of God available than we have ever known or imagined. We have become satisfied with where we are and what we have, that we don't press in for God's best. Yes, God is moving among us and working in our lives. We have been content to comb the carpet for crumbs as opposed to having the abundant loaves of bread God has prepared for us in the ovens of heaven. He's prepared a great table of his presence in this day, and he's calling the church to come and dine. From Sunday to Sunday, it's too easy to live off the stuff he's previously done, to look in the Bible, which, don't hear this the wrong way, is the word of God, but we can look at that as a history book. We go, he did this one time, he did this another time. That's wonderful. They're the crumbs, the stuff that's happened in the past. What we want now is for God to move now and his presence to be here now more than anything else. It's too easy to go through the motions of playing some songs, having a sermon, and not actually let God do what he's come to do. Because first and foremost, we come to do what God wants to do this morning, not what we want to do. Thank you. Yeah, if you feel like just like shouting it out, just do it. It would really help me. Just like a whoop or something. Let it whoop. Thanks, John. But kind of what we end up doing, if we just refer to the past and things God has done and done for other people, but we don't actually experience his presence here and now. I'm starting to get to the excited bit now. Oh, Karen thought I was going to have like a heart attack before the service. It was literally bouncing. We turn church into like a museum. I will explain that now. As in, you go, over here, we have this wonderful healing that happened in 1982. And over here, we have a story from the Bible that we read about and learn about. We can learn some very great objective life lessons from. And over here, and we love to tell people about what God has done, which is nothing wrong with that. And we love to read about it and learn about it and fill our brains with it. But we've got no first-hand experience. Because what we should be doing when we come to church is going, that's great, but I want more. And when you go, you are still hungry for more, because there is always more of God. God is the only thing there is never enough of. But But at best, what we get with the crumbs approach is just a nice warm fuzzy feeling at the end. I don't know about you, but how often do you go into work or to school or wherever you meet with people on a regular basis and you are desperate to tell them about what happened on Sunday or at cell group or about in your private study time or wherever it is that you've experienced the presence of God? Not very often, but guess what I wanted to do last Monday? Even with that small glimmer of God's presence, I wanted to tell people exactly what had happened and how good it was. And the normal conversation started on Monday morning about, how was your weekend? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, right, it's my chance. They're going to ask me next what happened on Sunday. Oh, here it comes. Here it comes. Beep. Oh, I've got a call. I've got to answer this because I work in a call center, by the way. It's not just like my head beeps. So actually, I wear a headset very similar to this at work. I'm like, oh, man. Oh, the conversation's going to go on. I'm not going to talk about it. But lo and behold, because I was in that place of just listening to where God wanted me to share into people's lives, I actually managed to have a whole conversation about Jesus with my manager. It was just like, whoa, this is amazing. I was just so excited by it. And it's just been happening over and over again where I'm having conversations with people about Jesus, but it's because God's captured my heart about something, about his presence. And because I'm seeking his presence, he's revealing more and I'm wanting to share more and just talk about it, but not in a rammy down the throat kind of way. But God's just opening up opportunities and people are asking about stuff that is going on. And it's just amazing. The great news is about this pursuit thing. If we pursue God, we will find him. It might feel like he hides himself from us. I haven't got this quote, but a guy called Tommy Tenney, the guy I quoted from earlier, describes it as like when he plays hide and seek with his daughter, in that, unless you've got competitive dad syndrome, Mr. Truman, when you play hide and seek with a small child, you don't make it so hard they can't actually find you and they get to the point of panic. You make it so they can find you because you want to find them. Or if you play tag with your small child. I know if I like run away from Ben and Caleb, they chase me, but then I will turn round and I will catch them. It's exactly the same with God. We pursue him and all of a sudden we find he is pursuing us. In Deuteronomy 4:29 it says, but if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. You will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. You've got to put everything into it. Not just your intellect, not just your heart, not just your money, not just your time. All of it. Because God wants all of you, not just a bit of you, every single ounce of you that there is. And you might think, well, that's a lot. Yeah, but look what you get in return. And it's not about his hand. It's not about his provision. It's not about what he can give you and what he can do for you. It's about him and his presence. It's about seeking his face. First and foremost. That's all Moses wanted. Moses didn't even get his request until he died and was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus in the New Testament. When Moses asked, what God did was put him in a cleft of rock, hide him with his hand in the mountain and let him pass by and saw his back. Because that's all he could handle. And the importance of the repentance activity at the back is that a living person cannot see the face of God. You've got to die to self before you can see the face of God. And it's not pleasant and it's not nice. And I had the sense that maybe this morning, this sermon was going to be really uncomfortable for some of us this morning because it's not nice. And actually for a bit, it's painful, but it's so much worth it because beyond that pain, beyond the repentance, there is more. And beyond the more, there's more. And beyond the more, there's more, there's more, there's more. Am I making sense this morning? I don't know. Cool. Excellent. Praise Jesus. Now, I was saying I was having these conversations with people at work, and one of the girls on my department, who's 19, she just asked me weird questions. Like, the other day she went, oh, we haven't had our God talk today. I'm like, what? What do you mean we've not had our God talk today? So, I know normally we end up talking about God and faith and religion and Christianity and stuff. But she didn't mean, like, you come in on a Monday morning or a Tuesday morning, whatever day of the week it is, and you've prepared a 5-point plan of what I should do and try and lead me to salvation. She actually prefaced it with kind of, actually, you don't ram it down my throat. You don't expect me to perfect. You don't expect me to make a decision right now. Actually, you just chat about it and talk about it, if it's completely normal. I was like, whew, thank goodness. Whew, otherwise I'd have been in trouble. But she asked me the question, how do you know you are experiencing the presence of God? And I was like, oh, mecca dang dang. That is a question and a half, that is. Because I couldn't answer her with a nice, neat, packaged answer, because often we associate the presence of God with signs and wonders and miracles and falling over and shaking and crying or laughing, or in some weird cases, clucking like chickens. It freaks us out a little bit, so therefore we don't want it because it's a bit strange. And that church down the road does it because they're Pentecostals, but not in my house. But actually, the only thing I could come up with as to why or how we know we're experiencing the presence of God is because there is nothing else like it. And you just know it in your knowy place. I don't know. For me, it's located around about here, like physically, it's located about here. Bill describes it as knowing it in your knower. Not as in like Noah built a boat. I describe it as like a jelly bean. Do you know jumping beans? Like if you flick one, they'd go, woo! And until you kind of stop it and calm it and put it away or deal with it, it keeps flipping around. And it's kind of like that. Until I actually deal with that jelly bean, I can't get rid of the feeling. And if I do ignore it and just kind of suppress it, I feel incredibly like you're a muppet. You should have done something about that. You just know in that deep place that there was something you should have done. And that's all I can express it as, is just this knowing. There is nothing else like it. Interesting enough, the psalmists quote on this and about the whole idea of deep calling to deep. That very deep place of God calls to your very deep place, spirit to spirit. And interesting enough, this is the same psalm that I was thinking of using, but decided, oh, I probably won't use this because I don't want to just ram it full of verses. But in Psalm 42, where later on it says deep calls to deep, it starts with, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with him? Or meet with God? I was like, what are you trying to do here, God? You just like keep bringing me back to verses that I wasn't going to use, and you get in other ways. And also, God's been working through my telephone this week. I rewrote my sermon on Thursday. Just thought I need to revisit, decided to give it a bit of a rejig. Went on my break, picked up my phone, had a text message, which was, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. How today can you seek the kingdom of God? Bit strange. Maybe God's like just confirming some stuff. Went on my lunch, another text with a very similar verse. Went on my afternoon break, another text with a very similar verse. Got home, another text with another verse of the same line asking about how I can seek God. And it wasn't from anybody in church. It was an automated text message from a newsletter that I'm signed up to, and I never gave them my telephone number. So, okay, God, I get what you're trying to say. You want me to speak on this. You're confirming things for me right now. I suppose if we're going to ask about how we know the presence of God and that we've confirmed that we need the presence of God, well, what's the purpose? Which probably seems like a bit of a daft question because it's God. But if we're going to be hungry for him, what's the purpose of his presence? What does it lead to? It leads to repentance and worship, commitment and intimacy. At the end of the day, Jesus is looking for a bride, not a girlfriend. I promised Matt I'd use that line on Thursday. He don't want no casual relationship with you. He don't want to flirt. He don't want to hold your hand. Don't want to kiss behind the bike sheds. Don't want a quick fumble. God wants proper, deep intimacy with you. Not messing about. I said he wants all of you, not just a bit of you that you can afford to give him. And guess what? The result of a committed and intimate relationship is children. And this is where the rub is, because sometimes you go, oh, it's lovely, we've had this holy huddle, but what about out there? Actually, God's presence leads to other things. So God's presence will lead to disciples being created that are healthy and fully able and on fire for God rather than just pew fodder. Because it is too easy to divide up the Christian life between what we do in here and what we do out there. But if it's God's presence, that is what makes the difference. So we can have the best outreach, we can preach the best sermons, we can have the best publicity, all that stuff, which is great. I'm all up for excellence and doing stuff right. I'm a trained graphic designer, it's kind of wired into me. But actually, without the presence of God, all that stuff is meaningless and will achieve nothing in the end. And the great thing is people are actually hungry for God's presence. I don't know if you've noticed, but the rise in horoscopes and mediums and all that sort of stuff, or self-help, it's all people looking for an answer for this longing that's in here. We've summed up as the God-shaped hole, that God has set eternity in the heart of men, but somehow they've lost that. People are turning to all sorts of stuff and trying to feed themselves with whatever they can get their hands on. And you can't even compare it to junk food. It's the scraps, it's the rubbish, it's the stuff you put in that little silver bin in your kitchen to recycle. That's what people are trying to live off. And then when we don't have the presence of God in here, we try and give them junk food to satisfy, and lo and behold, when you give them crumbs, they're still not satisfied. What they need is the presence of God. And if we've got the presence of God, the doors will be battered down. We won't be able to contain God in this place. You'll be going to the shops, and people will go, "Excuse me, can you pray for me right here, right now?" What? Because if you are broken, if you have poured yourself out to God so he can fill you, so he can come and dwell in this place, he will still go with you. He won't stay in this building. He won't stay where we do our services and our nice holy huddles. He will break out of this place, and that's when stuff will start to happen. Because otherwise it's only going to be temporary. The presence of God will lead to permanent stuff happening. And I felt it was really important that this is one of the first messages that was in this teaching series, because it kind of lays the foundation for everything else. About actually, with the presence of God, doing mission is pointless. Without the presence of God, worship is pointless. Without the presence of God, I could just list stuff, I'm not going to bother. You get the idea. So the question really isn't this morning if or when God will show up. Because he will. It's just whether you choose to realize he's there or not and chase him a little bit so he chases you. But how hungry are you for him? Are you desperate for him this morning? I purposely didn't eat breakfast this morning so I'd be physically hungry as I preached. I wanted to feel it. I wanted to physically feel hunger so I knew what it was like as I preached about being hungry for God. You might think that's a bit weird, but, you know, I do weird stuff because God tells me to, within reason. No. I hope I've communicated clearly what was kind of going on in me at the beginning that probably wasn't so clear and slightly messy. But actually, this morning I felt it was really important that we kind of have a response. It's all in good me saying, "I've had this experience, this is where I'm at." And you're going, "Oh, that's lovely, Matt, well done, I can learn some really nice stuff from that." But actually, if you're hungry, if you want to be hungry, if you want to be hungry this morning, I'm going to ask you to do something that might make you feel uncomfortable. Because sometimes we don't do this because we go, "There's nothing holy about the front, or there's nothing holy about this or that other." However, this isn't for your benefit you do this. This is for other people to know that you're in this with them. I would like you to stand with me to say, "I'm going to pursue God. I'm going to chase him. I'm going to do my best to catch him." And if not, that's fine. That's okay. You're allowed to not respond. Don't feel guilty. That's fine. But what I'm going to say is, those that stand, this will be the start of something immense. And this may not be the nice, quiet, comfortable church that you may like, which could have consequences for where you go on a Sunday. That's as nice as I'll say it. So if you stand if you want to pursue God. Simple as that. We're just asking for more of you, God. We want to find you. We don't want you to go away again. We want you to stay here with us. We want to chase you. We want to find you. I run out of words. Hear the cry of our hearts.
Job answered God, and I'm convinced you can do anything and everything. Nothing and no one can upset your plans. And you asked, who is this muddy in the water, ignorantly confusing the issues, second guessing my purposes? And I admit, I was the one. And I babbled on about things far beyond me, and made small talk about wonders way over my head. And you told me, listen, and let me do the talking, and let me ask the questions, and you give the answers. And I admit, I once lived by rumours of you. But now I have it all, firsthand, from my own eyes and ears. I'm sorry, forgive me. I'll never do that again, I promise. I'll never again live on crusts of hearsay or crumbs of rumour.
Just to encourage you as the worship team starts to play again, to just seek God. So you don't need to sing the words. They're just a tool to help you. if you feel like singing something else other than the words, because God's put a song in your heart that you need to get out, get it out. Just let whatever it is that's in there come out, and it might not be pleasant and it might be snotty. But that's all right. There are people here this morning who want to pray for you, who want to support you, who want to help you deal with the crap you are experiencing. Sorry, I'm northern. I use words like that. So just let God come and do what he's come to do this morning, not what we've planned.
There is nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence is good. I've tasted. Sweet.